Welcome to the Backstory Podcast. I'm your host, Colby Cole. And on today's program, this episode, we are talking to a legend, an icon, a songwriter, a creative, a change agent, Mr. Kirk Franklin. What's up, Kirk? How you doing, man?
Man, it's an honor to see you, King. This has really made my day.
Me and Kirk go back a long time, and I want to tell this story about Kirk because I don't think a lot of people understand that you are responsible for an entire radio format adjusting itself and flourishing and providing a lot of opportunity for other artists and Black folks to work.
What are you talking about?
You, back in the day, gospel music, which was just called gospel music, now we say inspiration music, was relegated to AM radio stations. You go to every city, it'd be the AM gospel station, and the music was, you know, sort of old school in a sense. You come along, break the trend, do your own thing, like make it hip, and all of a sudden you got young people, all kind of folks that don't normally be engaged with inspiration music, playing inspiration music. I remember vividly when your first song came out, I was in a club in Philly, and it was a hip-hop club, and the DJ would play The Reason Why We Sing at the end of the night to like calm everybody down on a Saturday night going into Sunday, but to remind them about church. That, brother, is impactful. So fast forward, because of what you did, you and in a company I work for, was really the leaders in it, decided to make a format on the FM side that would play your music and other music that you were inspiring, other artists that kind of came around you, and it created an entire format. And then we syndicated it programming across the country. And so today, inspiration music is on the FM dial, and we have all these amazing inspiration talents and radio shows, and created this whole universe because of you. It really started with you. You're going to be humble and say no, but it was really you. And it was in our good friend Elroy Smith, who at the time, Chicago, GCI was one of the biggest radio stations, the urban radio stations in the country. He took a chance and played your music on the station next to all of the rap songs and the R&B songs that everybody else did.
I never knew this until you said this to me.
No, you inspired because when we play Why You Sing, then we would then Yolanda Adams and Donnie McClurkin, all of a sudden these artists were getting played on the mainstream hip hop radio stations. And so when it became a bunch of songs, then it was like, let's just do the format and let's do an FM format and allow this to flourish. And expand it to other artists that may not make it to mainstream radio, but it was just like a lane. And the initial launch of the format, which was interesting, was it had a tremendous, powerful impact 1834 and 1849 when it first launched, when we first decided to do the FM inspiration format. And that's because of you, man. You were the leader. You were the person that went against the churches and the people that was like, oh, we don't like this. This is not what we normally do. But you had this vision. And you were able to, you know, kind of just fight through that and make music. And somehow the word of the Lord was spread into spaces that would never be spread before. We would never play any song like that. It just never would happen until we played Kirk Franklin. Then we played Donnie. Then we played Yolanda, you know, and then we played the Mary Mary. Like all of this stuff happened, but it started with you. And I don't think you get enough flowers for that because it was just so impactful that you have been able to, you know, share your passion for the Lord and how you share your passion for the Lord, but open up a door for others to do it and more people to be exposed to it. And that's a credit to you. And I'm just, I'm a program director to heart. So I know this history because I just lived it. And I always go back to what was the turning point that we did this? And it was The Reason Why We Sing from Kirk Franklin and the Family was the beginning part of this whole universe of FM inspiration. So congratulations, sir. You did it.
I never knew that. That's amazing. I'm serious. I never had anybody ever say to me that there was a whole format that was started like that. But anyway, thank you. I appreciate it. And we can move on now.
So anyway, the Backstory Podcast, which is great about it, and I've interviewed you numerous times over the years, but what's great about the Backstory Podcast is sort of I take just sort of a look at an artist or creative, and just what were some of the building blocks of their foundation. And then we're going to get into this new television show, which I'm really excited about, you and your wife, because you and your wife remind me of me and my wife, and we've been married for just as long as you've been married. So like, we get it, and what you're doing is amazing, and we'll talk into that. But first, to just kind of get to you know, to get things started, you grew up in the Dallas area, and you were really engaged very young with music. Now, from my understanding, you were able to like perform instruments just by ear. You were able to naturally perform instruments. You didn't really get any training.
Well, I took piano lessons from the age of 4 to 10. And then that was really it. And then everything else came by ear. I could hear the songs on the radio. I could hear all the R&B songs, and I could play them. And you know, that's what made the girls start liking me. And so when the girls started liking me, then of course I'm gonna keep learning every song that I can learn. And so that's how it started for me.
You were brought up in you sort of had a religious upbringing, but when you became a teenager, you became a little rebellious. Talk a little bit about that stage you were going through.
Yeah, well, I was adopted by an older lady, and she was a lady that paid for my piano lessons, and you know, she would recycle cans and stuff like that, and she was a widow, and so it just left a lot of space for me to get in trouble. It just left a lot of space for me to get into a lot of things that were not always the most productive for me, and then so I would be with church. I would be at church with her, but then I'd be on the corner smoking wild and whatever, you know, just with the block. And so I just had this dichotomy that I lived in. And then a friend of mine got killed when I was 15, and that kind of changed the trajectory of my life, because I knew that I was kind of, you know, just wilding. And so that was the paradigm shift for me.
Talk a little bit about the family. So you formed that at a very young age, and this was different in the inspiration space. Like, you know, you had a different idea than what was happening. And what was sort of the genesis of your vision? Where did that come from?
Man, I had no vision. I had no vision. I called these people the family because I didn't have family. Because I didn't have cousins, sisters, and brothers. And so I was always absent of that. And so that's why I called them the family. And you know, I didn't know that the music I was doing was good. As I just knew I wanted to do music. I just had it in me, but I had no idea. I had no plan, had no vision. There was nothing intentional that I was doing that I thought was going to be transformative. I didn't really think that it would, and definitely didn't have any idea that it would cross over, you know, and I don't think anybody knew. And so that just made it even more, you know, just even amazing to me.
So then you put out this song and it starts to get airplay, and it really starts to take off across the country. And then you started to go across the country. You were invited to a lot of churches, and you were just, you know, traveling around. What was that experience for you in real time, that you made something that was different, and then all of a sudden people started attaching to it differently, and you were also catching some rays from people that were more formal about inspiration music, but you kind of plowed through all of that. Talk about that moment in your life.
Like Biggie says, it was all a dream, you know. it's not even something that I can even kind of even comprehend or bring back to recollection, because it happened so quick. It was so, and I think that I was so busy being lost in it that you know, I also was coming up in a time where there was not this this context of mentors and having other people pouring into your life. Everything was, you had to figure it out on your own. And so there was just a lot of figuring out on the way. There was a lot of stumbling. And so it's almost like this illustration that I always use is that one of our first trips, me and the family had to do a bus trip from Texas to California for one of our first concerts from Texas to LA. And when we got there, the promoter was like, "Yo, man, what did you think of that drive?" And I didn't really know what to say. He was like, "What did you think of that sun setting over those mountains?" I was like, "I don't know." He said, "You didn't see the stars at night when you went through the desert?" And so because we left Texas so late, we were rushing to get to the concert, that a lot of what he said, what he was asking about, I missed all of it because I was so busy trying to get there.
Right.
And so my point is that most of my career, I've been so busy trying to get there, whatever there is, that it's not a lot of smelling the flowers on your way.
Yeah. It's interesting when you can reflect back on that, and especially when you're young and you just moving, and you don't really get a chance to appreciate stuff. But then when you get older and you start looking back in your life, you just like, man, you get that feeling like, oh, I missed this, I missed that. So what was impactful about your album? Because I started, you know, just talking a little bit about how you changed radio. But, you know, you had only the third gospel album to go platinum. And I think the one before you was Aretha Franklin. So you come out with this project and it really dynamically changes your life. And now all of a sudden you have this big platform to experiment with music and ideas and concepts around inspiration. And you just made a string of really good songs that would allow people to, A, the hooks were great and they were fun and you could sing along with them, but they would also move you. And so are you telling me this was all an accident? Like you didn't, there wasn't no planning into all of that, all of those gems you dropped on us?
It was all God's sovereignty. I wish I could flex on you. Is I wish that I, you know, could impress you and make you think I was that guy. But bro, I ain't got nothing for you. Really, man, is that I don't know. You know, you never know. And when people say they don't know, they don't know. And like even like a song like Melodies from Heaven, right? Like Melodies from Heaven, when it came out in 96, Melodies from Heaven was not as impactful like it is now.
Right.
Like people sing Melodies from Heaven at day parties and clubs and, you know, but that wasn't happening when I did Melodies from Heaven. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't know. I mean, Melodies from Heaven is almost 30 years old and people are singing it now like it just came out, you know? And so you never really know, but the gratitude and the appreciation that I have is bar none. I'm extremely thankful that in spite of all the things that should rule me out and could rule me out, the Lord's kindness seems to continue to runneth over. And I'm doing my best to try to be grateful for it.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm sure you had numerous experiences with people that you changed their lives, like for the better, or you took them off of that ledge. Do you have, you know, some stories of moments where, you know, you realized the impact of what you were doing musically?
Yes, I think for me, the greatest miracle, and I say this with a much soberness, is I think the greatest miracle is to be at 53 here talking about releasing another song. You know,
and
my first album came out when I was 23. So, you know, just even that is to me, that is just a great work of a miracle that can't be planned. Like there's no life plan that you can try to put together to try to strategize that, you know, saying there's no PR team that's sitting around for 30 years, you know, that's got some type of ideation that ends in a 53-year-old man after 30 something years releasing a new single. Just doesn't work.
When you have all of that equity in songs like Stomp and Looking for You, and you know, there's so much music that you've made, or Smile. I mean, I think about Smile a lot because we live in a society that it ain't cool to smile. Like people are just so like stressed and they got a lot of heaviness that they handle. And you made that record. And I remember the first time I heard that record and I just like stopped and I breathed and I smiled and I was like, man, we need this right now. So you tend to have those songs and moments where we need it. Like Stomp, I thought was brilliant. Like it was just such a great song. It was a great track. The video was phenomenal. And it was just like you, regardless of what your status was, you could connect with the song and you could really feel like the energy of the song. And that is just, that's so powerful.
That is very kind of you. And, you know, like you said earlier, it doesn't feel like that when you're in it, you know, because all you can feel are the attacks and, you know, sometimes the persecution. But I'm extremely grateful.
So you got this new TV show that you're doing with your wife. And this is what's interesting is that, you've always kind of showcased your wife in some way or another. We know about Tammy, but you decided to come together and do this show. And what was really the genesis of partnering on this show to help single folk?
Well, first of all, shout out to TV One. You know, they've been a great partner, as you know, well, better than anyone else. And for me, more than anything, is I'm excited about showcasing Tammy. Is I'm excited about people getting a chance to see how dope she is, how she can have charisma and style and be able to carry, you know, just a level of just engaging people on another plateau, right? And so that makes me more excited than anything else, is to be able to showcase her.
So give us a little background on The One, because you seem to have found The One, and you and your wife, you guys connected very young. And you've been together, what is it, 25 years now?
27.
See, like I got Guido's 2 years back. So 27 years of marriage. You know, what was it about her and you and your relationship? What is it that drives the two of you that makes you guys like great?
Well, now this is something that I also want to say, is I don't think that numbers always quantify a great marriage. You know, is I remember, you know, like some people will brag, you know, and my parents been together 40, some 50 years. But as young kids, we all knew people that lived, were married that long, but they weren't happy. They just existed.
Yeah.
That we also come from a community that some people just stay together because they don't believe in leaving each other, but they don't have no happiness. They sleep in separate bedrooms. They don't have no engagement, no conversation. And we knew a lot of people like that growing up as kids, where the husband just sat in the chair and watched the sports and then moved from that chair, died in that chair, you know. And she, you know, she'd be like, "Oh, don't pay attention to Henry. He all right, you know." Mm-hmm. And it's like
They didn't go to church together.
They didn't go to church together. She went, he stayed. You know and they died like that. You know, it's one thing I can say is that I think American culture romanticizes marriage to a point that it almost becomes like an idol. Like even how we do within our communities, if you see a young lady in her 30s, some of the older ladies are looking at her like something's wrong with her because she's not married.
Yeah.
You know, like we make people broken if they are individuals. And individualism is still a very powerful thing. You look at Paul, you know, he wrote the majority of the Bible and he wasn't married. So we've got to also stop demonizing people that are not, and to stop idolizing people that are. Ooh, that was a word.
Yeah, it was. So what happens on this show? What role does
Well, first of all, it's not a Christian dating show. It's a dating show just for people, man. It's fun. It's engaging. It's entertaining. As people are going through their process, you know, just learning more about themselves, learning more about the opposite sex. And we understand that it's television. So television has its beats and its engagements. And so we're very excited that people can feel the passion, feel the love in it. And incredible production team, incredible network. You know, the network came to the table, knocked it out the park. You know, Tam and I trying to drop gems and trying to show our mistakes. Like I said, I'm very cautious with these terms of examples and blueprints, because I think that just one couple can be the handbook for relationships, because
of course,
relationships are so complex. And so I think that when you watch the show, you begin to be reminded of that, but also hopefully you'll be inspired and engaged and entertained.
Bruh, you like, for a big chunk of your marriage, you are a recording artist touring all over the world. You were moving, like, you didn't have a normal, like most people that get married, they have a normal live in the same house, not moving around. How were you able to stay together and stay so strong through all of that?
Well, first of all, Tammy is extremely kind. And when I asked her those questions out there, she said, because I knew what I signed up for. I mean, because remember, when I got married, I already had two albums out. You know, like While We Sing was out, it was doing what it was doing. And then the Christmas album, I'd already recorded the What You're Looking For album, hadn't come out yet. So, you know, I had a career that was already in its growth and in its span. And so by God's grace. So, you know, so when I met Tammy, you know, it was already doing what it was doing. And so, you know, it wasn't where we started out with me down in the basement with a keyboard and just dreams, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, doing whatever God had it doing. And so, you know, she kind of jumped on the train. She kind of walked into it as it was going. And so she she has been incredible at that. But now I'm excited about her time. I'm excited about her scene. I'm excited about things that are really about her, because, you know, she's an incredible woman, and I just want to showcase who she is.
So in this show, you bring on single people, and is it you with the guy and her with the girl? Is that how it works, or are you both together?
It goes all of those different ways. Sometimes I'll talk with the sisters, she talks with the brothers, and we just really try to have an honest conversation. And it's just a really, 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 really good time.
And so you help them try to find the one. So what are some traits that Tammy and you have that you list for looking for the one, the quality of somebody that could be the one?
Well, first of all, we also try to figure out what their one is. Once again, not to try to make Kirk and Tammy, you know, we are not here to tell you what that one is, you know, because I think that we fail people to do that. Same way when you do, like, you know, when you talk about God, talk about Jesus, and you're like, you know, let me tell you what you need to be doing. It's like, no,
right.
You know, God reveals himself in every situation uniquely to the spaces and places of those people. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we just try to have more of a conversation with people about what are the things that are important to you? What are the things that are more valuable to you? Okay, well, listen, if that's important to you, listen to what this person is saying, because they do not share those same desires. Those are not the same things on their list. Are you listening? You know, you may be looking at the body, the physical, but when you talk about your list, y'all's lists are not synonymous.
Give me some insight on some of the episodes so far. Like, what are some of the things that we should look out for that you were intrigued by, or some of the things that maybe you weren't so intrigued by?
Well, I think that what I was intrigued by more than anything is that, you know, the story of how people in the 30s and 40s still continue to have these struggles finding people that they can be compatible with, you know, and these are real things, because I think that culture has changed the value system and what people believe in and what they don't believe in. And so you have this huge spectrum of people that are in their 30s, but maybe very traditional, you know, and you have this other thing where so many people are coming to the table that are either divorced or have, you know, two or three children, and all of these nuances make for interesting conversations, that make for interesting processes, that it was very educational for me to just watch how difficult it is at times for people to navigate all of those realities in 2023. And
well, it's hard. Relationships are not easy. And what's interesting is, and I find this too, people love the love part of a relationship. Oh, we just got together. It's amazing. And that feeling you get, that natural euphoria you have, but then when it settles and you have to put that work in, you know, it becomes very difficult, and you bring all of your stuff and they bring all their stuff to the table. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a lot of wobble there, and then people just give up and then they move on. And then people carry a lot of baggage, like you said, you know, from previous relationships, and they can't let it go. And it's really, I'm sure you know this, like I have a lot of single friends in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, right? Like these people that just can't seem to find, and it's been a difficult journey for them. I'm so anxious to see this, because I want to see, because I always find myself when I talk to my single friends, and they always say, hey man, hook me up with somebody, and it's not that easy. You got to find that, you know, that puzzle piece.
So but it's going to be very entertaining, very engaging, and I'm very excited for people to check it out.
All right, so the one is on TV One Thursday night, starting May 18th, 9 p.m., 8 Central, and this is Kirk and Tammy Franklin. I'm so excited to see this. I'm glad you guys are doing this.
Yeah.
Real quick, musically, what's coming? We waiting, brother. What you got in the
I have a new song that I'm putting out May 5th. It's called All Things. Hope you hear it.
Hey, listen, no, we're big fans. And again, thank you for all that you've done. And, you know, I always like to give you your flowers on this, because I don't think you, and I'm glad that we talked about it, how just the impact of just one song could have and can create an entire, you know, network of radio stations and change people's lives. And our good friend Erica Campbell, who does the Get Up Morning Show, was actually I'm the one that put the show together for her and brought her over to the company. She is changing lives every day on her show, and just an artist that can make great music, but then, man, can be a radio host and can kind of share that wisdom from a day-to-day perspective, man. It's just a beautiful thing, Kirk. And I'm humbled to know you through this whole process. I even remember, bro, we had a real serious conversation 20-something years ago about music, and I had brought you on my hip-hop show. I was like, it's a Stone Cold hip-hop show. You came on.
Yeah.
And you captivated the audience. You just like, nope, we're going to hold off on that, and this is what we're going to talk about. But you're definitely a pioneer and a leader, and, you know, man, we're excited for you. We're going to support this TV show and obviously support this music. But, man, just keep making this great stuff, and thank you for coming to The Backstory.
Thank you, King.
Coming up on the next Backstory podcast, R&B star and New Edition member Ralph Tresvant.
I mean, I didn't know how to think, feel about it at the time. I was like, man, you know, that could mess up the dynamic of the group. We just get started, you know. The group was already voting. We're going to put them out. We can't take this no more. It's not going down. We're putting Bobby out the group. Got word to Bobby, and then he actually came to me, and I was like, I'm not going to do it if we're going to break the group up like this, man.
The Backstory Podcast with Colby Kolb is an Urban One Incorporated Reach Media Pod is Good production, hosted and executive produced by yours truly, Colby Kolb, edited by Donkus. Follow us on Twitter at BackstoryPCC, on Instagram, Get The Backstory. For sales and corporate partnerships, Josh Romani and Michelle Marino. Digital marketing, Walter Gaynor, J.R. Smith, and Tim Hall. Thanks again for listening to The Backstory Podcast.